In your words, describe the spiritual climate of the United States.
All over the country, I think you see a lot of different ideas and lots of different cultures. For the most part, I think there's no definite answer.
Are we going in the right direction as a country? And what do students think? Today we're talking about what students are saying are the most important issues facing America. I'm Jeff Eckert.
I'm Jason Brewer. And this is The Thought Factory.
The Thought Factory podcast is brought to you by Never the Same, cultivating students through biblical discipleship and spiritual disciplines using theology, community, and technology. Learn more at neverthesame.org.
Well, in case you missed it, last episode we talked to Charlie Elcock, youth ministry professor at Indiana Wesleyan, and his thoughts on the gap year and the transition from high school to college and youth ministry in general.
And next episode, we're going to be talking about the impact of technology on students' lives. So those of us that are into that, we understand what changes it's bringing in culture and not just in general, but with students, that was going to be of interest to you as well. And for this episode, as always, there's always a companion blog, that article that goes with this. We're going to dive deeper into the numbers. And for some of you, what we're going to talk about today might be of very specific interest, so we want to encourage you to go to our website and our blog page. It's neverthesame.org/blog.
Yeah, for those who may be visual learners and actually can read better than listening and are not as great as an audible learner, you can see the stats and everything like that, what Jeff mentioned. And in this episode, we are talking about the problems, the challenges that face America. And we asked students, what is the most important problem facing America? Students answered that the number one issue or problem facing America is terrorism at 36%. And number two came in as race relations at 23%. Number three at 20%, they said sexual identity or orientation was an issue facing America. Number four was wealth inequality at 10%. And tied for fourth is abortion at 10%.
These are things, when you look at those top three that concern students, terrorism, they're thinking about safety. That's high on the radar for our culture today and this generation. Maybe previous generations weren't thinking as much about that, but terrorism is definitely something that's on their minds, and we see that in their responses. They're thinking about race relationships. We live in a very divided culture, and unfortunately, a lot of times that falls along the lines of ethnicity. And students' desire in this area is for racial harmony and reconciliation. And then a lot of things concerning sexual identity and orientation, students seem to be seeking an understanding. And coming from a Christian perspective, trying to get a good, clear, biblical worldview on that issue. Those top three things students are saying are concerning to them as far as issues going to the future of our nation.
And as usual, we pair these stats with what adults think students are thinking. And so these numbers, there's some similarities, some close numbers, and then there's some differences as well. So for adults, terrorism came in at 23%. The thought students think that is the greatest issue. Race relations came in at 29% for adults, thinking students thought race relations was the biggest issue. Sexual identity orientation came in at 36% for adults. Wealth inequality came in at 10%, so that's identical to what students thought. And abortion came in at 3% for adults.
So some differences there between those statistics and what adults think that students are thinking. Terrorism, we see, is much more of a factor for students than what adults think. Students are saying 36% say it's number one, while only 23% of adults think it's important. Students also don't see race relations as much as an issue as adults think they would. So, for example, students said 23% think it's a major, major problem and number one, and while adults, 29%, almost one out of three. Now, those numbers are close, but we are finding that in general, it seems like when students are younger, maybe they haven't experienced some of the pain or the realities of the brokenness in race relations. So we see the differences there. And a trend that's happening, you mentioned the last one, Jason, there, and that's abortion. students are more pro-life. The millennial generation, look at it statistically, there was a shift there where students began to become, in that generation, more pro-life than any generation since several decades previous. So the tide seems to be changing there and turning in terms of students saying they're more pro-life in their general stance when it comes to that issue.
And looking at the direction of America, these next numbers are staggering, I believe. We asked, where do you believe the direction of the country appears to be going? And 77% of students responding said it was going in a negative direction. That is staggering to me. Now, only 4% said it's going in a positive direction, and 19% said it's going to be about the same. And now, two episodes ago, we mentioned that 93% of students had somewhat or a mostly positive outlook on the future. And now, that was a personal belief for their own future, thinking about their future outlook of the careers and what they're going to be doing in the future. But I think that's kind of strange to me that 93% said there's a positive outlook for their own future, but 77% said the country is going in a negative direction.
In seminary, I had an adolescent ministries course, and one day a professor asked our class, are students better off spiritually than they were 20 years ago? And what he did was he made us divide up physically in the room on either a positive or negative side. In other words, if we think students were better off spiritually now than they were 20 years ago, we got to one side of the room. And if we thought they were worse off than they were 20 years ago, we got to the other side of the room. And I found myself in a dilemma because I didn't know really what I believed. I had such mixed feelings about it. It took me a while to figure out. And there are a few of us like that. And he forced us because some of us said, well, let us stand in the middle because we kind of see both sides. And just for the sake of discussion, forced the issue and made us go to one side or the other. And that began in me this process of trying to understand my outlook. Now, I chose the more pessimistic answer that day. Now, some of the discussion was interesting because some students said they made comments on the more pessimistic side. Students are worse off than they are now than they were 20 years ago. They were saying things like, well, the issues that students are faced with and they're bombarded with today just seem to be so complex and so intense. And yet people on the other side, their response to that was the same issues are happening and students are being confronted with the same issues. It just may come in different forms today. And that really sparked in me this understanding of myself. And I asked myself, where did my belief to that question come from? Did it come internally from God? Is God leading my thought process about my outlook? Or is it more external, more of a worldly view? And what I realized is that my outlook onto the future, being pessimistic, was more influenced from an external perspective. It was influenced from other people's opinions. It was influenced from the media. It was influenced from various different things. And I realized I need to be gaining my perspective from God. And I could say that began a switch in my life where I became much more optimistic about the future, not out of being naive, but out of a sense that I believe the kingdom of God is a powerful force and that when we're on the side of light, when we're on the side of good and what God wants to do, we can indeed have a very realistic and at the same time, optimistic view of the future. My question for you as you're listening to this is, how would you answer that question? If I were to ask you, are students better off spiritually today than they were 20 years ago? What would you say and why would you say that? And as I've processed that question for a long time and I still think about that, I believe that God is taking me personally from being what I would call a pessimistic Christian to more of an optimistic Christian in my outlook and perspective of the future. And my question for you is, what is your perspective and why do you hold that perspective?
I believe that we can also have a perspective one way or the other, and it definitely affects how we approach students. We see that in our research. We see that when we ask adults, what do you think the students think about this particular question or this topic? We see a pessimistic approach and we see an optimistic approach. And these adults are answering out of their own belief that students are either better off 20 years ago than they are today, or they're worse off. It definitely affects how we approach ministry with students.
Now, as we've looked at this research, and again, you can find all the raw data right on our blog, but one of the things, Jason, that you and I observed was that in general, it seemed like adults had a more pessimistic view, just in generalized terms, when it comes to even some of the things we're talking about today. But in all of our episodes, generally, I think that is a thread that adults seem to be more pessimistic and students seem to be more optimistic. And like you're saying, I think that's so key what you just said, that bleeds in and affects everything that we do with students.
I know you as more of an optimistic person, just working with you every day, and the outlook changes how we approach students and what we believe in students. And yeah, I have more of an optimistic approach because I see the good that these students have, and it causes us to have a greater expectation, a greater belief in what students are capable of doing with the gospel and God's kingdom.
And if you've worked with students for any amount of time, you've probably seen this where adults, when they know, maybe some of you listening to this, you're in the full-time profession of youth ministry, maybe you're a volunteer, or somehow you're involved in students' lives, and you've probably heard this if you've done it for any amount of time, where other adults would say, oh, wow, your work is really cut out for you. And just right there, without even saying anything about their beliefs, you can tell they have a pessimistic view of the future and of students. And I think one of the things that's key for us as youth workers involved in the lives of students is to bring not only for ourselves an optimistic view and outlook, but to share that with others so that we can change the perception of the future, and particularly for what other adults that may have a pessimistic view, hopefully we can be an influence for them to say, no, there is great things ahead and students are amazing and our optimistic outlook can rub off on them.
I totally agree. I feel that God has called us into a position of working with youth to cast vision to the other adults that may have a pessimistic view of students that don't even want to be involved with students because it's so negative in their minds. And yet we are in a position to cast a greater vision for the future, greater vision for students, a greater vision for this generation, because we believe in this generation so passionately. Now, next segment, we're looking at what our students saying is the solution for all these challenges, and Jeff and I's thoughts on that.
Hey guys, this is Joshua Liggins, former youth pastor, now current school teacher in South Florida. Hey, this is for parents. If you're a parent and you're seriously looking for ways to help your child mature into faith, please consider partnering with Never the Same. From their Bible engagement series to their nationwide MTS camps, these guys are absolute trailblazers for growing students in the faith. Check them out.
So in the last segment, we looked at the issues that America faces. And so this segment, we want to take a look at what are some of the best solutions to those issues. And we asked the question to these students, what do you believe is the best solution for our country's challenges? 38% said the right president in office is the solution. 8% said more government involvement is the best solution. 11% said less government involvement is the solution. 38%, which is identical to the right president in office, 38% said the church is the solution for our country's challenges. Now, you may remember us discussing this last season for a podcast pertaining to politics.
And looking at those numbers, Jason, you just mentioned, when you think about internal versus external solutions, the church would be more of an internal people focus. The other would be more of a government having the right president or more or less government involvement. And I look at that in terms of our students believing that the change will come from people, or will they come from institutions? Will they come from people's hearts being changed and transformed by God and the gospel? Or are they going to come from external sources like government, like the right president, the right people in office, etc.? And that brings up this idea, how does change work? How does solutions happen? How does God want to change our environment and our society? Now, it seems like from those numbers and from the general perception of people today, we share a lot of the same traits as they did in the scenario when Jesus was on earth. Jesus spent a lot of his time trying to help people understand that the solution for change wasn't external but internal. When he talked about the kingdom of God, he was specific about how the kingdom of God is and what it does and what it looks like. But I think he became maybe the most clear that we can see in defining the kingdom when he says in Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is in you. It was the context of that passage is they were talking about when is the nation of Israel going to be restored? When's the kingdom of God going to take over? Now, in terms of then, when Jesus was here, the nation of Israel was under the rule of the Roman Empire, and they tended to be pretty ruthless in how they did that. And so the people were crying out for freedom. And what people expected the Messiah to do was to restore the government and the nation, physical nation of Israel, back to prominence, even to take over something as powerful as the Roman government. And when Jesus came to talk about the kingdom of God, a lot of times when people heard kingdom of God and they heard change, what they heard and interpreted was, oh, Jesus is now going to restore Israel to her glory. When Jesus wasn't concerned about that as much as he was concerned about the internal change, the transformation that happens when God changes a person's heart. So as we talk about solutions, think about the students that you work with. If they're reflected in these numbers, many of them are looking for external sources to change society. When Jesus teaches us that the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, the kingdom of God, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He makes all these strong statements, but it's not this external thing. We're not going to see the kingdom of God on TV. We're not going to see the kingdom of God represented in office. What we're going to see is the kingdom of God transforming people's lives from the inside out. So that change happens not just externally. In fact, it doesn't start externally. It starts internally in people's hearts, and then it begins to have an external visibility to it. And so as we think about our influence in students' lives, I think it's important for us to point out to them that they need to understand that it's the internal transformation of God within someone's heart that's going to change the world in our society.
I look at that verse and try to imagine myself hearing that for the first time as a disciple of Jesus in that context of knowing that we are waiting for a Messiah to relive the glory of the kingdom of Israel. And reading through the Gospels, and every time that Jesus mentions the kingdom of God, there's sometimes this confusion, and he tries to clarify, but there's also times that he just leaves it as confusing of mentioning the kingdom of God, but doesn't clarify exactly what he means. But in Luke, he's saying the kingdom of God is in you. And so as a disciple, all of a sudden you hear that and you're like, what do you mean? I'm not the one that's supposed to be the Messiah. You are. And you're supposed to bring this glory, and you're supposed to take up arms and fight the Roman Empire. And yet Jesus' point is, no, the change needs to happen in your heart. And we do see that in when we say the kingdom is here now, and as well as the future of what we are anticipating the kingdom of God to be like. But we can experience the kingdom of God when we have Jesus in our hearts, in our lives, and we trust in him and we follow his commands, and then we allow it to transform our hearts into what you mentioned as an external evidence of what's in our hearts. And so when we talk about loving our neighbors, that's an external evidence of the love that we experience in our hearts and the transformational experience. And when we want to see justice happen in this world, when we recognize that there is evil and we want to fall in love with the things that are good and not evil, that is because our hearts changed. And so we look at the stats and saying there's an external, a force of the government, the right president. And I can understand why some students say that is the reason or that is the solution, is because they don't have maybe the transformed heart and understanding what the kingdom of God is. And so they're like, man, I need to have a solution to this issue that I'm experiencing. And if the right law is in place, if the right person that is in place establishes these types of laws, then my issue that I'm experiencing will have a solution.
We live in a world, in a culture of blame. We live in a culture of division. We live in a time in our society where it's easy to point to someone else and say, it's their responsibility. We didn't have the right person in office, whether it's national or regional or local. We didn't have this law that was right. Now, those things are important, and we're not saying they're not. But I think what's the most important is the fact that the shift in responsibility goes from someone else pointing the finger elsewhere, as opposed to looking in the mirror and looking at ourselves and saying, how am I a part of what God wants to do to bring about his kingdom, to bring the kingdom of God to be on earth as it is in heaven, as Jesus prayed? And that shift is so key for us as we influence students, is to get them to understand that while those things matter, things like government and elections and laws, those are important. But the more important thing are the lives and the hearts of people, of men and women, of students, of children even, of knowing that their lives can be changed, and we need to point them towards that internal process. And then also that shift in responsibility happens where we say, it's not just somebody else's deal. I'm not going to blame it on this political party. I'm not going to blame it on this administration. I'm not going to blame it on even my own church that's not doing enough. I'm going to say, and I believe a heart transformed by God and a person that knows what the kingdom of God is and the nature of it would say, God is changing me, and because of that, now this change is going to happen around in my world, around me, because of what he's done in my life.
Yeah, even as Christians, we can easily blame the church, like you said. We can say, well, the church is not doing enough. We are experiencing these issues in America, and the solution is the church, which is also an established form of kingdom, in a sense, where you go, the church needs to do more. And yes, the church as a body of Christ, as a body of believers, if we are changed internally, it's going to affect others externally.
So again, if you want to dive into some of these numbers and learn more and see the data, see the actual responses of students, go to our blog page, neverthesame.org/blog. You'll see that as well. We also post that on our Never the Same Facebook page. You'll see that as well. And as we think about our issue and topic today, what's facing America? What are students telling us? What are they thinking? It's important for us to help students gain perspective. It's important for us to help them understand that the kingdom of God is an unstoppable force, and we can be a part of the solution as we look to the future and know that God's in control, and we can be a part of bringing heaven to earth as a part of his kingdom.
The Thought Factory podcast is brought to you by Never the Same, whose vision is to see new generations transformed in Christ to further the kingdom of God. Learn more at neverthesame.org.